This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. It was another kind of choppy week for the markets, for the metals, really across the board, as we started off the week with a bit more of a bullish attitude, almost a reflationary trade that came into the market, but then fairly quickly reversed as some tensions between the U.S. and China came back up, and I think just some more level heads prevailed, saying that this recovery is not going to be as smooth as the markets tried to tell us it would be through the tail end of March and April. We're going to cover a lot of these topics in the first two segments with Rick Bensignor. He writes the Bensignor Investment Strategies. It's an institutional newsletter called Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the biggest, most successful hedge funds in the world. So, Rick, I do appreciate you taking time to share your outlook on this show. We're going to spend the first two segments talking about what's going on in a wide range of markets, but first and foremost, I want to address a comment you made on your recent report that discusses macroeconomic factors more when it comes to the balance of deflation and inflation. As I mentioned, the start of this week started to see a bit more of an inflationary trade, oil moving higher, copper moving higher, markets moving higher, but there was a bit of a damper that was put on that, and now everyone's still wondering, you know, are we going to get that big deflationary event that still a lot of people are expecting? What do you think?
Well, Corey, first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And as far as this inflation-deflation kind of battle that we've seen people talk about, I'm much more now towards deflation, but less so than I was, let's say, a month ago when the signals were stronger that investors were positioning their portfolios more for a deflationary outlook. The continued up move in the stock market has reduced that some to some degree. Even the movement in the metals market has changed it a bit. And so what I would tell you is that, first of all, inflation is just certainly not something that's being talked about other than as an eventual result of all the money that the Fed is printing. But in the near term, I think to be concerned about inflation is just focusing on the wrong thing that for so many years has really been off the table. And for J-PAL to get, you know, back to 2% inflation, which is his target, I just don't see it based upon all the things that the Fed is doing and the fiscal policy that's being done by the government to kind of back it up. The printing presses are on. You would think that would be inflationary, but if you look at how the markets are positioned, and when I say the markets, I guess better said, how portfolio managers are positioned, they are not positioned at all for a fear of inflation, at least not yet. And if you look at the 10-year, the U.S. 10-year Treasury sitting at, I think, 66 basis points today, the longer end of the curve has not moved up at all. The twos to tens came in a bit recently, and when I say twos to ten, that's the differential in the yield of the U.S. 2-year Treasury versus the U.S. 10-year Treasury, which is often one of the main ways people look at, quote, the yield curve. And with interest rates on the short end so close to zero, that spread is simply going to move on how the 10-year moves because the short end's just, you know, kind of locked at very, very low rates. So I can't say that I am a hardcore deflationist right now, but if I had to choose between the two, right now the markets and the models we use that help define are people positioned for inflation or deflation going forward, right now they are more positioned towards deflation. But as I said, not as much so as they were a month ago.
So, Rick, if we take this from an investment angle, because that's where I think a lot of people are debating this, is more on the investment side of things, you could, I think, make the argument that the U.S. markets can disconnect from underlying economics, underlying macro factors. So even if we do, say, see a deflationary outcome, is that something to bet aggressively on, or do you think that markets can somehow be a little bit more supported, disconnect a little bit more thanks to all this money printing?
I think many times they can be disconnected from some theoretical reality of what they should be, and it's a function of what's going on in the markets, right? You know, there's definitely a more emotional market, meaning that investors are more emotionally invested, not in just the market itself, but also daily life, just because it's been turned upside down so much in the last couple months. So people are more on edge. I think it's very hard to disconnect how you're feeling in your life when you're a portfolio manager. That tends to come with you. It's hard to kind of leave home at home when you go to the office. And these days, people aren't even going to the office. So home is the office, and it's very hard to disconnect the emotions of what's going on and thinking about the health of yourself, the health of your family, and so also while you're potentially running millions, hundreds of millions, or billions of dollars. So as a behavioral strategist, I've seen a fair portion of my career have markets be disconnected from reality, and that's what I try to take advantage of, essentially exploit when they're making decisions because they're on the wrong side of a particular move, and it could be down to an individual stock, or it could be the market itself. It could be, you know, the gold market, the oil market, analyzed at a particular time. What I'm trying to do is take the opposite side of poorly timed collective decision making by people who just can't take not being in the right direction, and you know they're thrust of either buying or selling when I'm already looking to be a buyer or seller, or essentially on the opposite side of what I think to be mistakes that are coming. You know, I wait for them to show up, and then I make my bets in the market. And so far, you know, over both a 40-year career on Wall Street doing this in a very public way as a strategist, or even for the fund I trade for, I've got here, let me check, as of right now, I am ranked third of 58 global commodity portfolio managers this quarter at this fund that I trade for. And so, you know, this is all about taking advantage of other people's mistakes. And if you've got the right models and a combination of patience and waiting for things to come to you instead of forcing the ideas, you can really learn how to make money in the markets consistently. And that's kind of the approach that I take. So sorry if that's a long-winded answer, but the whole game I look to play is taking advantage of markets disconnecting from where they should be.
What are some of those disconnects that you saw so far throughout this quarter that you took advantage of?
So in this particular fund, it is only pure commodities trading. It's not just futures. It has to be commodity futures. So no stock indexes, no foreign exchange, no treasuries. These, you know, I'm trading pure commodities. So I've made some good money in the oil market, both on the short and the long side, and, you know, capturing a fair amount on the downside, and then also getting long near, I think, $10 after the low in the July contract had already been made, or actually the June contract, which I think the low was 7. I got long at 10. So obviously the oil market had a huge disconnect this quarter, most especially going into the May expiration, but it's had a phenomenal move upward since then. And I'm actually thinking that we're very close towards, you know, the high end of what we're going to see on this move.
All right, Rick, we need to take a break for the radio station, but I am having you back on next segment. We will get a little bit more into some of your outlooks for other commodity sectors and the U.S. equity markets. Everyone, stick around. Rick and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But beware, not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That is why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients. Employing Americans. Log on now at 2020safe.net and order your liter bottle and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free. By using code GCN at checkout, 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. I am continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Rick, you're concerned about a spike higher in the dollar, even though the dollar and gold have been more or less moving hand in hand, almost like a fear trade.
Yeah, and it's obviously most people don't think that, you know, how could the dollar move up and gold move up? Traditionally, because gold is priced globally in dollars, if the dollar gets more expensive, then it makes the gold worth less. And that's why gold sells off when the dollar moves up sharply. And there's a historical valuation in that or correlation in that respect that over time, a strong dollar usually hurts gold and a weak dollar is good for gold. But there are certainly periods, and the periods can last for quite some time, where that's not the case. And right now, I'm kind of bullish gold, and I'm kind of bullish the dollar. And it's been working for a while, and at some point, we are going to disconnect. And my hope is that when that happens, I can see it coming, or can react when it happens, so that one of those two sides, you know, I would have to stop playing in that direction. And considering I have much more exposure in gold and gold stocks than I do in the dollar itself, that's probably where, you know, I'd have to have stops in place just to protect profits.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Gold stocks have already done so well this year. But one more comment relating to this whole behavioral aspect of the market. Is it not maybe a little bit concerning that that spot market is so tight? There is so much of a retail and even larger player audience in there that is buying heavily into physical gold?
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't lose sleep over markets anymore. I've been in this game too long to lose sleep over it, but if I was going to use the phrase, you know, that I'm going to lose sleep over something, it's that itself. It's that the market, the speculative market in gold is quite significant, and it has been for months. And gold's been a great performing asset for, you know, 20 years. So if you looked at where it was in 2000, 20 years ago, and you looked at, you know, many other markets, gold's been very good. If you look since 2008, it's not going to look as good, because stocks have rebounded much more than gold has on a percentage basis. But, you know, look, over the long term here, gold has done well. So from 1980 to 2000, did lousy, and interest rates were on their highest highs in 1980, right, when the 10-year got something like, 17% or so. And you basically had a bearish market for 20 years, and now you've had a bullish market for 20 years. But gold broke out in the summer of 2019. I think it was April or, no, May or June. So last spring, gold broke out from a 6-year base, and it's at $1,375. So now it's roughly, what, $1,750. It's almost $400 higher. So on a percentage basis, it's moved significantly. Gold stocks just in the last month have broken out from their 6-year rounding bottom. So the GDX, which is one of the best proxies for gold stocks, the GDX ETF, broke out above 32. Got to 37 and change or so within the last week or two, and it's pulled back a bit here. It's 35 and change now, but that's the fact that gold stocks have broken out too is a good thing. And, you know, I've been telling my clients, whether it's the retail side, which is in the notrader.com, which is where I write a weekly newsletter for paying subscribers, I've said that, you know, you want to be in gold and you want to be in gold stocks. And so far, you know, it's paid off well.
So, Rick, what about the play into silver, though? Because a lot of the, at least smaller investors, look to silver as kind of the poor man's gold, and silver has not moved in the same way that gold has, although it has looked more constructive recently. But silver also has that industrial component besides the precious metal component. You paying any attention to this market?
I do, but not as much so. I used to trade a fair amount of silver, but recently I've been focusing more on the gold market. As you said, silver is the, you know, poor man's gold at $17 an ounce. Where is it now? $17.65 an ounce for the July futures contract. So that's the front month contract, other than $1,700 gold. So, you know, it's trading basically at 1/100th of the price. And that's why they call it poor man's gold. But the same thing. Silver has an entire industrial usage, and it's far less than it used to be, most especially because you don't have camera film anymore using silver much. Of course, you know, x-rays do, but with the public using their iPhones and digital cameras for years, the demand, I mean, it's very hard to even find a roll of film somewhere, let alone somebody to process it for you. So that's changed, you know, over years, made a dramatic difference in the demand for silver. And because it's more closely related to the actual economy than is gold, it makes sense given what's gone on in the last few months because of the virus, the fact that silver really kind of can't get out of its way. It remains in, I mean, now I guess we can say it's 17 and a half. It's kind of the upper teens. But I can't remember the last time silver was even above $20 an ounce. It's years. So it's definitely poor man's gold. And it's a precious metal. But because people look at it as an industrial metal also, when the economy gets in trouble, gold may rally kind of as a hedge against bad times. But silver usually won't rally as much because it's much more related to how the economy is doing.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's wrap it up with some comments on U.S. equity markets. They have had this at least temporary short-term breakout above that late April, the April 29th high on the S&P of about 29.54. However, they did top out pretty much right at that 200-day moving average. What's your thought on S&P? Is it going to break higher? Is it going to break lower? Are we going to just be stuck in a choppy range for a while?
So out of those choices, my answer is the most latter of the three. I think we're range-bound, which there are not a lot of people on the street who are in a role like mine as a strategist that are suggesting that. You have much more of a bifurcated market where you have really bullish bulls who think that, you know, yes, there can be a pullback here or there, but for a variety of reasons, the market's going to move higher and ultimately take out the all-time highs made in February this year. You clearly have very bearish bears. Many significant hedge fund managers have been on business television in the last few weeks telling that, you know, the economy is awful. This is a horrible time to buy stocks. And it's an accident waiting to happen. And stocks will be, you know, 20% lower and da-da-da-da-da. My view is, and, you know, certainly could get proven wrong with this, but what I've said for the last couple months is that, or maybe let's say the last 6 weeks, is that the lows made in March will stay the low for the balance of the year, and that the S&P will not take out all-time highs.
Okay. Hey, Rick. Awesome having you on the show. Really appreciate all the time and all the insights into a wide range of markets, plus that little bit of a more macro discussion that we had. Rick, I look forward to chatting with you in probably another month. And, hey, in the meantime, hope you have a good long weekend. And, well, keep up the good trading there, buddy.
You too, Corey. Stay healthy.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says he wants Americans to go back to church. He's declared them to be essential.
The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less.
Some governors say the president can't order them to open churches, but the Justice Department has already been warning states they cannot let businesses reopen while keeping churches closed. They also sent a letter to LA's mayor warning that extending stay-at-home orders may be unlawful. This while Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has extended their stay-at-home orders for another 3 weeks, despite declining infections and increasing protests. This is USA Radio News. The Jersey Shore is reopening for Memorial Day, but things aren't quite the same. USA Radio Network's John Hunt is in the area and gives us a peek from his perspective.
Beaches are reopening all around the country for Memorial Day weekend, including the Jersey Shore, with the coronavirus still stalking the state and the rest of the USA. Not everything will be the way it used to be. Signs around the area said social distance today starts spreading the news. No arcades, no rides, no concerts or special events, closed playgrounds, capacity limits on beaches, long lines to use the few public bathrooms that will be open, and just takeout at most bars and restaurants, with drones flying overhead to help authorities monitor it all. Police and other security will be out on the sand to make sure people keep 6 feet apart, and lifeguards will blow the whistle on anyone who does not follow the new rules. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. In the next two segments, I am focusing almost exclusively on the resource sector and some of the portfolio management that our good friend Joe Mazumdar, editor over at Exploration Insights, when it comes to a broad sector that is still rising. There's no doubt that gold stocks, especially silver stocks, have started to get a buy, and it's not just the majors that have been getting these buys, and that's why I think now is a really good time to discuss how you manage a portfolio in this rising environment where we are seeing some of the lower quality companies also get a buy, because quite frankly, when you have stocks in your portfolio that are going up, sometimes you lose sight of the relative performance compared to either the broad sector and also some of those higher quality companies. Let's start off with a discussion on the types of resources to be in a portfolio. Obviously, a lot of people are distracted by gold, silver. Those stocks are running. But in your eyes, does that mean that portfolios should be, say, 90-95% in the precious metal stocks?
No. I would say, and thanks for having me, that right now with our portfolio, you eternally want to diversify, especially because we're dealing with a very risky side of the market. You want to diversify not only by commodity, You want to diversify by stage, potentially, like between your illiquid exploration drill hole plays up to your multi-asset producers. And you also want to look at jurisdiction. So if you've got a lot of exploration, single asset plays, you might want to spread it around between, you know, having some in West Africa, some in a stable jurisdiction like Western Australia, Canada, or, Nevada or something like that, and not put all your eggs in one basket. That's always been, a central theme. Underlying that is the due diligence around, management, asset portfolio, does it make money, that sort of thing. Like, and we're dealing with different metals right now. So the precious metal sector is obviously a lot more buoyant, such that, like you said, there's now even marginal projects that are getting funded. And we've seen, a ramp up of financing as gold's broken through 1700. And so, all the issues with the company, potential fatal flaws are getting overlooked right now as people are looking to invest in a lot of these juniors. We're not seeing that obviously in the base metal sector or less so. But saying that, if you have a legitimate discovery, like we've seen one in, a couple of Western Australia, that one was a nickel-palladium play called Chalice and Chalice Gold Mines, CHN on the ASX, and I think it's also listed in Canada. But that's had a pretty good run based on, a discovery. So discoveries are commodity-agnostic and potentially jurisdictionally agnostic, because if you find something really good, there's always this idea that there might be an underlying M&A bid. But that's not the case potentially for a development play where you're actually going to invest a lot of capital, and maybe jurisdictionally you want to make sure that once they put the money in, they're actually going to get the money out.
Okay, so you're not then, I guess, in summary, just focused on the precious metal stocks. However, it does make sense that these stocks might hold a somewhat larger portion of your portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely, because you could see a bid in there. But, I've been sort of preparing for this for a couple of years. So I've prepared myself for silver exposure. I've prepared myself for stages of development. And, the grassroots stuff is something basic in the portfolio that we look at. And so I've got enough of those between explorers and prospect generators. But when I thought about a turn in the gold price and the silver price, I acquired more producers, cash flow companies, because that's basically the first thing to spring. And so those have sprung. So now the idea is that I take some money off the table, which I have on like Sandstorm, and then reallocate it at a different stage, at a grassroots stage explorer, or at a development stage junior. And that's been some of the movements in the portfolio, is moving even within the commodity to a different part where, I think there's still room to move.
Okay, well, that ties in nicely to that next point, is what stage are you focused on? So you have started rotating some of the money into more of the development stocks. As you mentioned with the exploration stocks, though, it doesn't even matter what kind of market you're in. If you make a discovery, that can move the share price. But how do you view right now companies that are maybe working on a discovery, might have a sniff of a discovery, versus these companies that are, at least some, threatening to go into production?
Well, right now, your comment on threatening to go into production, previously, that was a part of the, the Lassonde curve that I avoided, going into production, because I thought, okay, then I have execution risk around permitting. I've got technical risk. Can they build this? And then working capital issues, so financing risk and all that. So I'd rather just stick to either exploration or maybe operating where I know what's going on. But I have, purchased a developing company in Bluestone, because I can see financially that, Lundin Group owns a third of it. So they have financial backing. They technically, you know, a lot of the people from Fruta del Norte and the company that built Fruta del Norte, G Mining, has come over to help them build the Cerro Blanco project in Guatemala. So then I get a little bit of mitigation there. And so, and we're not seeing a lot of companies come into the development space because there was just not money then over the last couple of years. So those companies with these kind of high margin projects are ones that got financed earlier this year. You know, we saw Mag Silver, we saw Bluestone, we saw Orla, and I think Mag as well. So we saw those companies actually find money. And so I'm encouraged on the development stage, but I'm not going to buy just any development stage because I understand that there's a lot of risk in it. So I want to make sure I pick the right one that actually can generate free cash flow. So if you're in that stage, you got to do a lot more due diligence than the, you know, high risk, high reward exploration plays, which is based on just a, you know, one drill hole potentially giving you a triple.
Fair. What about some of these poorer stocks, some of the marginal deposits, some of these stocks that aren't getting the same bounce that the high quality, let's say exploration or development stocks have, but they even now are starting to get a buy? And hey, it's understandable. Some people look to these essentially penny stocks and say, oh man, they go up 5 cents and I'm going to make a double, even more than a double. And you know what? There's so much money being thrown at this sector that maybe I should get sucked into one of these stocks. How do you balance that out?
Well, the idea is right now, you know, this one of the themes is that, you know, more generalist money, not just the gold bucks or gold bugs, are coming into the sector. And when they come into the sector, they're going to buy liquidity. They're going to buy big liquid solvent companies. Hence, you know, you can make a double on Barrick or Newmont, or, you know, and they'll buy, you know, things like Franco Nevada. And then as these companies get funded, we'll see, you know, the money go down to other projects that are smaller. And in terms of the mid-tiers, that's why we see a lot of consolidation amongst the mid-tiers, is to build up that liquidity, you know, just like the SSR mining acquisition or merger of equals with Alistair's, to get that critical mass to attract this generalist funding.
All right, Joe, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but as I said, I'm having you back on next segment. We're going to continue this discussion, so everybody please stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised, we are chatting, or I am continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar. Joe, I had to cut you off on that last segment for the radio, so let's get back into this whole discussion of money. It is trickling down into some of these smaller companies. What's something you've been noticing? How do you play this?
As this funding trickles down, what we're seeing is, like you said, I would say the marginal projects that we saw in the last cycle, like your Live and Goods, you know, less than a gram, big open pit project in Alaska. And we're also seeing the Hycroft mine potentially looking to come, you know, back into production, which was, you know, big tonnage in Nevada, refractory, but yeah, you know, complicated metallurgy. So they've got issues, each one of these projects, but they show ounces. And with those people that are just concerned about ounces and want those marginal projects that do so much better and have a high leverage to gold, we're seeing those things come, get funded, or we see a lot of interest in there. Personally, I'm sort of surprised that we came to that level so quickly. It only seems like several months ago where a lot of people couldn't find money, and now we're seeing the stuff that's, you know, marginal actually get a lot of eyes on them right now.
Now, when it comes to these financings, that's a whole other aspect to talk about, is it worth going into some of these private placements, especially in these lower quality companies that are offering, say, full warrants? The good quality companies right now, they're raising money without any warrants, even having bought deals. But, hey, there's a lot of money throwing at these companies, and it's understandable that some people looking at these lower quality companies saying if the gold or silver price or whatever price keeps on running, well, these shares are going to be worth more, and you get the bonus of that warrant.
Yes, the idea of clipping the warrants and making a double on the stock, selling that, and then getting the warrant is a, you know, common theme in the market. The issue right now is that the underlying volatility market is still significant, and most of these companies are high-risk juniors. And so the question is, if they're offering the warrant, are they riskier than the one that's not offering the warrant? And I prefer – almost nowadays, like in my companies, that they don't offer the warrant because that says something about the quality of the asset that they are, that they can actually offer shares to people, still get oversubscribed and still close the day higher because there's more people that want the shares. We could see that, that this is a quality company with quality management team. Whereas the other one is, offering a discount, and also a full warrant. And the demand is really for the warrant and not for the shares. So nobody's buying in the open market. They just want more of what's being offered in the private placement. So that tells me something about the asset or the management team. So you really need to be sure that gold is going to go, higher in your investment time frame, because you're taking the risk of holding that stock for 4 months, especially if, they had some bad news come out in the 4 months, or they're in a iffy jurisdiction and something happens in those 4 months, you cannot sell. So you're going to be stuck with it. So is that risk worth it with the marginal asset? Is that something that you're willing to take the risk with, because that's why you're going to get the warrant? Or do you buy it in the open market, and if something happens, you can sell it, whereas all these other people can't? So that's the risk reward with respect to doing this thing about clipping the warrants. And it's worked before in bull markets, and if we're in one, I can't say that it's not a good strategy, but just understand the risks you're taking when you do embark on it.
Yeah, that's so true. You are taking on extra risk, and hey, we just put up with a 10-year bear market, right? So why bother taking extra risk right now when arguably some of these higher quality companies still have a lot of room to run? When it gets down into stocks, though, a lot of companies, you need to assess the type of work that they can do coming out of this COVID shutdown. How are you balancing out the fact that now a lot of companies have money, but still projecting and assuming that they can get work done?
Yeah, I would say out of the COVID-19 pandemic, there's, several themes coming out. And, one of them is that, can you, even if you're funded, can you actually do anything? Another theme is the issue about supply chain. Can you actually, if you're developing, can you get that ball mill from China or wherever? I mean, because China's opened up again, now that's a better thing, easier. And also the impact on demand on, base metals and industrial metals. That's another thing that's been depressed. So precious metals have been well, but, other commodities have not done so well. And so with respect to the impacts on whether you can work or not, if a company that you've invested in has people on the ground that are in the country, there's a higher probability, obviously, that they can actually go to the asset and generate catalysts. The problem is if a company has a lot of people based in their office, Vancouver, Toronto, and have to fly to the country, that probably is not possible right now. So even though they may be funded, they might just be sitting on their hands right now. Like if their asset's in Peru, if their asset's in Ecuador, if their asset is, in Chile right now, or even anywhere outside of Canada, if you can't fly there. So that's something you got to think about depending on your time frame as well. And if they didn't raise a lot of money, how much do they burn in G&A, and how much are they going to burn before they can actually go out and test their project? And with respect to supply chain, has globalization, taken a big hit during COVID-19? And I think it probably has. So, countries may be looking for assets closer to them to secure supply chain. And then, that's what's worked into the uranium theme, with respect to, the states having a stockpile and looking to help their local industry to feed their power plants. Because in this market, uranium's been impacted, probably one of the biggest impacts from production disruptions because of Kazakhstan, which is a producer that can actually still make money in a $25 uranium environment. But now since they're offline, you know, the reactors continue to consume. So, you know, are we going to start seeing some long-term contracts, and are we going to see more contracts with companies that have assets closer? So that's another theme that's coming out. And then with the base metals, how does it impact base metals and copper? Because, you know, we were expecting a big deficit in 2025, but, you know, we've obviously had a reduction in demand. I think we're picking up right now as China comes back, but a lot of these pure copper plays are heavily indebted. And the question is, can they actually spend the money developing or sustaining their production? So if they can't, then does that deficit grow? Is it become a bigger gap? And so do you want to look for projects that will fill that gap? You know, that's one thing that I'm looking at. So companies like Trilogy Metals, that's one I own, to hopefully do that play. And then lastly is that the opportunity is, because of the issues with base metal companies and they're, you know, that they're not making any money and that they will need funds to sustain their production, is that might open like opportunities for royalty and streaming companies to actually fund them and get the precious metal stream or a royalty on the company. The way I play that is with Sandstorm. But we've seen a plethora of royalty companies emanating over the past 6 months or so to also potentially take advantage of this issue in the market right now.
All right, Joe, we're going to wrap it up here. A lot to consider for everyone listening, and I know it's a good time to be investing in especially precious metal stocks, but I think you always need to be weighing what you're looking for and what is going to drive these stocks. So Joe did provide us with a lot of insights there. Joe, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us on the weekend show. Everybody, thank you for joining me for the first hour. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I hope everybody has a great weekend, a great long weekend for all of our U.S. listeners. And tune in throughout the week. Keep up to date on all the daily editorials and company updates. Thanks again for your time, Joe.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.